Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Oh, yeah.
Started off with a little... Life is just a fantasy.
Yeah, how about that little Aldo Nova? Right off the bat.
Way to go, Millennial Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's Aldo Nova doing these days?
Oh, I'm sure.
They still touring?
I'm sure they're busy. Really busy. Playing state fairs. And wrenching on the Ferris wheel between shows. They're probably taking tickets. Hey, we're going to be performing tonight. If you'd like to swing by. So check this out. Jake McGee is now a World Series champion. Congratulations, Jake McGee.
Why can't we get players like that?
I don't know. Did you watch them pull Snell last night? Did you watch him pull him?
Yes.
Dude, I was...
I was not surprised.
I was sitting there going, you got to be... I'm telling you, as soon as they went analytics on me in the middle of a game where he is absolutely dealing to bring in a guy that gave up a run six straight appearances. That dude had given up a run in six straight appearances. I mean, how stupid are analytics? Seriously.
Mark, you literally have Major League Baseball teams who are managed by guys who all they do is implement
the analytics.
The analytic guys upstairs. They don't make a move. All their moves are generated from the nerds upstairs. Yes. Blake Snell pitched 5 1/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 9 Ks. But here's what the analytics say with Blake Snell is that He's a 5-6 inning pitcher, and that if you get into the later innings or you get to the go around the third time around the lineup, his numbers skyrocket. That's what the analytics say. And
so
that's what they did.
So it makes sense from an analytics standpoint then to put up a guy that had given up a run in 6 straight appearances. That makes sense. It serves Tampa Bay right. I hope everybody that implements analytics gets torched. Because sports are about eyeballs. Sports are about your gut. Sports are about what, you know, who can get it done in crunch time. It's not what the numbers say. The numbers lie constantly. So whatever. I mean, it serves them right. Good for the Dodgers. How about your boy Mookie? Did you see your boy Mookie? Mookie can play some baseball, man.
Mookie can play baseball.
What yard on him?
Mookie can play baseball. I'll never be mad at Mookie.
No, you can't be mad at Mookie.
Yeah, so yeah, congratulations to the L.A. Dodgers. Wow. Dodgers and Lakers. World champions. Can 2020 get any worse? We've had the Dodgers, the Lakers, and the Chiefs.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Man. I tell you what.
Showtime!
It's all the Chiefs' fault. Flipped the access of the world. I mean, just retilted the access. World access.
By the way, the baseball story got even wilder. Justin Turner tested positive for COVID. During the game, he got the results and they pulled him. During the game, he stayed around the team. In fact, after the game was over, came out on the field for the big team photograph. Hanging around on the field afterwards. Major League Baseball's like, hey, we got through it. We got through it. Relatively unscathed. We got through it. Hey, whatever.
When did they test? Like, do they test them between innings? Like, all of a sudden?
Random test. Come here. Pee in a cup. Oh, sorry. Different test.
Right.
It's science.
I don't necessarily get that one, but whatever. And you know, I know everybody's trying to make it, like everybody's trying to make it about the, everybody's trying to make it about, oh my gosh, you know, it was a miracle they got through and this, that, and the other. Oh, like it's trumping the fact that he tested positive is trumping the accomplishment of the Dodgers. Like whatever, man, move on. It's good. They got whatever. They won the World Series. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
About.
So apparently, in the second inning, the lab doing the tests told Major League Baseball that Turner's test from Monday, day previous, came back inconclusive. Samples taken from a test Tuesday arrived at the lab, and Turner's was run immediately, and when it showed up positive, the league called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. But,
wow.
Hey, I'm sure the way they look at it is that, you know, the odds of this really affecting the Dodger players or staff, probably they feel is remote.
Yeah. I would imagine he's asymptomatic and all that kind of stuff,
said,
right?
So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Major League Baseball was like, hey, they told him to isolate, but I can't blame him. He was like,
isolate this.
You know, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone through this entire run with these guys over the last few years. And we finally broke through and won a world championship. You think I'm going to, you know, hunker down in the trainer's room?
Yeah.
I can't blame him. No. I don't think anybody out there listening would have done anything different if you were in his shoes. By the way, just a quick thought here. I know the perception, especially that is spread by, you know, people in our business. You know, all the Dodgers are evil. Oh, all the Dodgers do is spend money.
Yeah.
Oh, how can the poor Rockies ever compete with a team like the Dodgers as long as they can spend money? Cody Bellinger, drafted by the Dodgers, fourth round. Walker Buehler, drafted by the Dodgers, first round. Tony Gonsolin, drafted by the Dodgers, ninth round. Clayton Kershaw, drafted in the first round in 2006, seventh overall. The Rockies had the second pick that year. They took somebody named Greg Reynolds. Dustin May, drafted in the third round. Jock Peterson, drafted in the 11th round. World Series MVP Corey Seager, drafted in the first round. Will Smith, drafted in the first round. These are all homegrown Dodger players.
They do spend money, and they do fortify their roster by spending money, much like the Yankees do. But the bottom line is those franchises do a great job of draft and develop and get their players into their system. And you can't hate him for that.
Nope.
You just can't.
Meanwhile.
Seager, World Series MVP. Homegrown. Like you said.
Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Here's what the Rockies.
Bold. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
That's right.
I mean, so far, you know, it is one of those things. It's only been 26 years, guys. It's only been 26 years that they haven't won the division. These kind of strategies take time. This is a long haul strategy.
We are now,
trust the process.
The good news is we are now officially in the off season.
Yeah.
This is Jeff Breidich's time to shine.
Oh, this is where he does his magical work. The magical work.
All right. Coming up, is Noah Fant's take on this Broncos offense the right one? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Got a chance to hear from Noah Fant yesterday, who, can you tell, by the way, he's playing at way less than 100%? Can you tell? Does it matter if you're out there, you're assumed to be 100%?
You're never ever 100%, but if you're out there, you have to play well. That's always been the rule of thumb. At least my rule of
thumb. So it can't be, oh, boy, look, you can just tell he's just not moving as well as he normally would.
Yeah, well, which is fine. If you're not moving as well as you normally, hey, the smart players, you know, that make it for 14 years or 12 years or 13, whatever it is, they're not moving as well, but they're still open. They still know how to, to find leverage and to not use speed anymore, but use intelligence. I'll do Seattle this weekend. Greg Olsen in his 14th year is always open. Can't run like he used to run, but he's always open.
Well, Chargers are coming in this week. How about Antonio Gates?
Guy could still find a way to get open, couldn't he?
Yeah, always. Back in the day, always. So there are excuses, there are reasons. Like, you're not running as well. Well, figure out how to get yourself open.
There are a lot of guys that are 100%ers. You know that. There are a lot of guys that just, unless they think they're 100%, they're just not going to play.
Some play right tackle.
Right. So, it's just the way it is.
Well, here's Fant talking about the Broncos' lack of offensive production.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have a bad attitude about it, right? But I'm definitely not happy with the results that we have right now, right? It's unacceptable. With where we're at, right? We want to be better than what we're doing. The statistics, the conversion, you look at the numbers and we're not living up to our potential, right? We have so much ability, so much talent on the offensive side of the ball, and we got to figure out how to make these things work, right? So, again, not a bad attitude from my part, you know, still positive about it, but at some point it's like, you know, put up or shut up, right? It's time to, you know, buckle down and get these things going. As for me, as for anybody on this team, right, we have to, you know, be on our P's and Q's and get this thing turned around.
You know, he prefaced his comments and said it once, and then he said it again during the middle of it. Hey, I'm not trying to have a bad attitude. I didn't take any of that to be a guy with a bad attitude. Did you?
No. No, why? Do people think that he has a bad attitude?
I think there's...
Because he's pointing out that they're not getting it done? Well, I think there's, again, I think there is a, I think there's a misconception. There's a narrative that has been created that everybody buys into. We heard it from Bowles yesterday when Bowles was speaking, and now I hear it from Noah Fant. And you think you put talent on a football field and that you just automatically are going to be good. Talent has little to do with it. Running fast has little to do with it. It really does. You know what it is? It's your ability to play this game from the neck up. Your ability to understand what you're trying to do. Now, talent is wonderful. Oftentimes, talent's wasted on talented people. I want dudes that are grinders. I want dudes. Do you think Alexander Johnson's the most talented linebacker in the league by any stretch?
No, of course not.
Athletically? Of course not. The guy can play. Guy is thumping people, man. Thumping people. Now, listen, when you get that supreme gift of talent and you have the neck up mentality and the toughness and the understanding, and you, like, that's what wins. But this team has been told since the word jump that they're so talented.
I was going to ask you, because as I was listening to Fant talk, do you think this offense, made up of a lot of young guys. You know how young guys are.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, you can go back to when you yourself, everybody out there listening, when you were younger. If you had all that stuff said about you, and you heard all that talk out there about, hey, you know, the Broncos are ready to pop. This offense, man, is going to be the next great thing in the NFL. You think these guys early on were guilty of reading their press clippings?
Oh, I don't think there's any question there.
And that maybe, you know, reality
right
has settled in and they're looking around going, ooh, okay, gotta change our way of thinking.
Mike, but the narrative is still, and you can tell what the narrative is because everybody says the same damn thing.
Well, there's a difference between what the narrative was that maybe they bought into and what the narrative is now.
There's not because what
you don't think they've gotten their wake-up call yet?
No.
The players?
No, absolutely not. What do they keep saying? What did Fant just say?
Well, he said the potential's there, but now we're into put up or shut up time.
Yeah, but he's talking about, what is he talking about leaning on? We're a real talented group. Now we gotta, make that talent come to the fore.
Absolutely not. Garrett Bowles, hey, we're as fast as anybody. Like, you're
yeah, there's no difference between us and the Chiefs. We're neck and neck.
Right, you're right. Neck and neck. Say that, yeah. And that dude, that's what they're preaching. It, like, if the players continue to say it all the time, isn't that what they're being told? You know what we were told when I was playing in Denver? When John Elway was playing in Denver? You know what we were told? Hey, the Raiders are a more talented team than you guys. They've got better athletes. We're tougher. We're more physical. We're smarter. That's what wins. Not how fast you run the 40. You think KJ Hamler is even close to being the player that the Cheetah is in Kansas City? Oh, but they can run the same speed in the 40. Mike, it's not about your talent. Everybody's got talent. The best receiver on this football team right now is the least talented receiver on this football team. But you keep getting sold a bill of goods that, hey man, it's about talent. We got a lot of talent, man. It's not about talent. It's about toughness. It's about football intelligence. That's what gets you over the top. That's what keeps you in the league. That's what makes the difference on third down and four, the difference between having a first down and punting. Like, those are the things that matter. At this level, everybody's talent. Let's quit talking about how talented we are. Like, this talent is also, like, the cream's all of a sudden going to rise to the top, and now we're going to start winning games. It has nothing to do with that. It's nice that you can run fast. It's nice that you're talented. It's nice that you spent first rounders and second rounders on receivers when there were third rounders and fourth rounders that are going to be the offensive rookies of the year.
Ah, can't wait for that cream to rise.
But the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. I am the cream. Yeah, let me say it. Yeah. Let me say it out loud. The cream of the crop. I am the cream. I am the cream. Yeah. The cream of the crop.
We got the long version there. That's good.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
You understand? But if everybody continues to talk about how talented they are, don't you think that that's what's being preached?
Well, what I'm hoping is that that's what they believed, and now they've gotten the harsh slap of reality, and now they understand. Okay,
we had sound on Monday from Garrett Bowles that wasn't the case, and that sound right there was still talking about leaning on that talent, how talented they are.
Well, he did say put up or shut up time, so
I get that.
Let's hope they all.
But they're hanging it on. Hey, it's time for this talent to rise.
Morning Brew coming up is Bradley Chubb in the defense getting frustrated with Drew Lock in the offense. That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Look at the numbers, and we're not living up to our potential, right? We have so much ability, so much talent on the offensive side of the ball, and we got to figure out how to make these things work, right? So at some point, it's like, you know, put up or shut up.
There's Noah Fant talking yesterday. It is my sincere hope that after an offseason of unbridled optimism, and maybe the first couple of games of, hey, you know, we're kind of feeling our way through all this and, you know, getting Drew acclimated again after being out. My hope is that the feeling around the Broncos offense this week is that, okay, enough's enough. We don't care about potential. It's put up or shut up time, and we see this team come out and look better on Sunday. It is my fervent hope that we've now arrived at that point.
Yeah, let the talent come. Let the talent just unleash the Kraken. I mean, just unleash that talent.
Not,
dude, that's...
No need to be snarky. I'm saying what...
No,
not,
there is
not,
a need to be snarky.
Not this...
I don't believe that this team has enough emotional maturity to actually do that.
Really? Okay, that's where I was going at. That it's not... So they still think it's just the talent, the cream will rise to the top. They don't think that they have to change their approach, work ethic, maturity, concentration, focus, none of that.
That it's all good?
They're so talented. We just got to make some plays. I'm just letting you know that my experience over 12 years of playing this game has a lot less to do with talent. I can't tell you how many talented guys I've seen that can't play a lick of football. So
you're not convinced they have the right mindset yet to go with that talent.
No, I don't. I mean, I think it has very little to do with talent. But, you know, I think that the misconception is you look at a team like the Chiefs and you think it's all about their talent. It's not even close. It's about their intelligence. It's about what they do up front. It's about the way they play the game. It's about the way they set themselves up. It's the way they stack plays. It's the way their coach calls plays. The fact that they have great talent is nice. And that helps all the other things they do. But the easiest thing in the world to see, Mike, the easiest thing in the world to see is how fast a guy is, how quick he looks. That's the easiest thing in the world. That is low-hanging fruit. That's analytics, guys. Has a very little to do with how good a football player you are.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Joe Locke, man, he's one of the greatest kids you'll ever meet. He goes out there with passion and stuff like that. And I know he's going to change it around. I know those guys on the offensive line are going to continue to block there. Light their asses off. I know those receivers are starting to catch those balls that sometimes 50-50 balls. I know all that's going to change. I know it for a fact. I 100% believe it.
There's Bradley Chubb. You've been on enough football teams where there's been a certain division in terms of who carries the weight, who carries the burden.
Sure.
Who carries the responsibility, offense or defense? There's definitely a divide right now. The defense is playing pretty well. The offense is putrid. Is there a concern of finger pointing, of a real division in that locker room between the defense and the offense?
I don't believe there's enough like established great players on the defensive side of the ball to create division that way. I will say this about Bradley Chubb, and God bless him, because I love Bradley Chubb, and I love the comeback he's making, and how he's fighting through it, and how much he's improved health-wise and everything else. But, that's the same broken record that we've been hearing. I know these guys are going to bounce back. I know Trevor Siemian's going to get it together. I know Case Keenum will figure it out. I know that Paxton Lynch is someday going to be a player. I know Joe Flacco is dealing. I know.
Well, what do you want him to say?
Do you
want him to come out and say, hey, let me tell you what they're... What defensive guys think? We think this offense sucks.
No, I understand. I understand that. But the bottom line, it's the same. You know,
you're right.
Second, third, fourth,
right.
Fifth, it's verse. A record. Same yep. is the first.
Yep.
I am Henry the Eighth. I am Henry the Eighth.
Oh, so you're not. You're
I
not.
I am. I am.
You're not. You're not down on Bradley Chubb. You're just frustrated that you're hearing this yet again.
I'm not down on Bradley Chubb. That's exactly what you have to say. You got to support your teammates. But for crying out loud, if every year it's the same damn broken record from a different player, you know, if Von Miller was healthy, that would be Von Miller saying that. Yep. I've heard him say it yep. before. Any one of those guys, they'd all be saying the same thing.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy. Let them flow.
All right, Charlie Steiner wrote that down before the game. I can always tell when the announcers
have written something
and they go to it.
Tears of joy. Oh, yeah. Let them flow.
Yeah. Anyway, Dodgers are the world champions.
Tears of joy.
Although,
let them flow.
Millennial Ben loves that one. If there's any consolation for disgruntled Rockies fans, it's this. Is that Justin Turner testing positive or a false positive that was flagged that caused him to be taken out of the game and told to isolate, yet he was still out there celebrating with his teammates after the game and on the field well after the game, has sort of become the storyline on ESPN this morning. Maybe that takes away a little bit from the Dodgers winning the World Championship. I don't know. Rocky fan maybe can take some solace in that.
I'm going to say no.
No.
They're still going to get a ring. He'll get a ring. They don't look concerned when they're sitting out there together.
No, I don't seem too worried. He's not a pariah out there.
Yeah, no, he's going to be fine. He's got no symptoms. He's asymptomatic. I mean, whatever. Like odds are this.
By the way, listeners, great listening audience, great 6 a.m. listeners, best of the bunch on the fan. If you ever come across Mark at the airport,
oh yeah,
Costco,
sure,
you know, as he's slinging his chili, whatever. If you ever want to get under Mark's skin, just start bringing up baseball analytics.
Oh yeah,
you'll any kind of for any sport analytics.
Mm-hmm.
You hate it.
Dude,
Blake Snell was dealing, okay, for the Rays with a 1-0 lead, but he gave up a hit to the number 9 hitter in the lineup.
Right.
And they were getting ready to swing the lineup to the top, third time around, analytic guy upstairs for the Rays looked and said, uh-oh, Blake Snell's opponent's batting average goes up however many points. When he goes around the lineup the third time, doesn't matter how he's pitching right now, get him out of there. Telling you, baseball analytic guy, they are wielding unbelievable power right now.
You know what
guys
else?
Guys who never played the game.
Ever.
Ruling baseball right
they
now.
They are graduating MIT and Harvard, and they come right in and they start making all the decisions. By the way, here's the other thing I hate about baseball analytics guy. Show your damn face. Owners and the analytics people hide behind the curtain. They pull all the strings. And then when you lose a World Series for your team, guess what? Anonymity. You just go about your business crunching numbers. Meanwhile, your coach is a moron because you've hired him without any authority. You've hired him just to make the...
Hey, he's a puppet.
To walk out there and go, hey, you're out. Analytics guy told me.
That's what it is. That's literally how it is.
You know what the managers are? They are John Candy from Vacation. Sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose outside should have told you. That's who they are. That's analytics guy.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right, we'll get to some reaction from you. A lot of text rolling in on the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll do that. 303-713-1043. And we just heard from Bradley Chubb during the brew. Is Chubb the guy to build this defense around? That's next. All right, let's get to some of your texts on the RamosLaw.com text line. Some good ones. Let's start with this one right away. So you were talking about the Chiefs as, don't kid yourself. The Chiefs aren't the Chiefs just because of all their talent. They're smart. They're disciplined. They're well coached.
Andy Reid calls a great game.
This text says, Stink, what the heck are you talking about? The Chiefs have the best quarterback, the best tight end. They have a top 3 wide receiver. But most importantly, they have the most talented quarterback. Put Mahomes on the Broncos and see how it goes. You're so full of crap sometimes.
Who said this? Who's this moron?
It's Mickey.
See,
your arch nemesis.
Mickey.
Should we just?
Mickey, yeah. I mean,
I tried to soften the blow a little bit by not saying it was for Mickey, but it's for Mickey.
I want to think about it. Let me ask you this. How did Patrick Mahomes do at Texas Tech? How many national championships did he win?
He had a losing record.
Oh, weird, huh? But he's the best. Did they put guys like Christian Kirk in the NFL eating people up right now at Arizona? Did they do that? You remember? Did they have other talented guys? Weird. I didn't say they weren't talented, Mike, but they put their talent in positions to win their individual matchups. And they change it around constantly. And oh, by the way, they can get all 5 of those guys out because they've got a group up front that can hold up. And oh, by the way, from a depth standpoint, talk about developing depth. They had 4 guys that weren't starters at the beginning of season play last week against us on their offensive line. At the risk of having you, well, no, there's no way you can come through at me because we've got this impenetrable plexiglass between the two of
us. This thing is,
no way you can get here.
This thing is a good solid 3 foot wide.
Yep.
4 foot long.
It's like the wall in Game of Thrones. There's no way this thing can ever fall.
No, this thing is
okay.
Big time.
So at the risk of, well, I can say it since I know I'm
you're safe.
I'm safe. I got to agree with Mickey on this one. If you put the quarterback, having an elite quarterback makes such a difference in this game, in this league. If Patrick Mahomes is the Broncos quarterback, this is one of the top teams in the AFC.
If Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, that's all it takes is Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. If Patrick Mahomes, with what we've seen from this Broncos defense and some of the talent that they have on offense, and I share your concerns about the offensive line, but we also know how elite quarterbacks make offensive lines look a lot better than they really are. Yeah, you put Mahomes on this team, this is absolutely a playoff team.
With the same play calling and the same.
Yep.
Nah. Hey, listen, man, I understand the importance of having the quarterback. I get it. I understand that. And are they a lot better? Are they fighting for a playoff berth? Probably. You know what? You're probably right on that. But it has so much more to do with everything else. Listen, you got to have a quarterback. I get that. I get that point. But for Mickey or anybody else to say, are you kidding me? All it is talent. See, you've fallen victim to the great lie. You've fallen victim to the analytics nature of, well, they got guys that can run fast and they got guys, man, play calling is so important. How you structure your plays, how you set teams up, how you work. Like, if Patrick Mahomes is sitting in third down and long on a consistent basis, did they win the game against the Broncos last week? Did they blow the Broncos out because Patrick Mahomes just cut everybody up?
No.
No. How you set things up and how you operate the talent that you have. If Patrick Mahomes is here in third down and nine all the time and you run four verticals, how much success do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to have? If every time you get in third down and you're in three wides and, like, seriously, and there's, and you haven't set anything up and there's no creativity. I mean,
I'd like to test that theory.
Well,
I would certainly like to test that theory.
As would I.
Yeah.
As would I. Yes. I agree with you. As would I.
By the way, just said a lot of nice things.
I mean,
about
it speaks volumes to this team point. And like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
I hit the crossing road. I had a day off last week in Denver. Still won by 27. Yeah.
Peter in Minnesota.
Peter. Is it Griffin? Peter Griffin? Where do they film that show?
That's where they film it.
Rhode Island?
Well, it's technically set in Rhode Island, yes.
Yeah, that's where they're going.
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Oh, Pawtucket.
I actually worked in Pawtucket, Rhode Island for a while.
You cover the Dodgers, don't the Yankees have a minor league team in Pawtucket?
No, well, the Red Sox Triple A team is.
Yeah, yeah. That's
although it was in Pawtucket. Now it's moving to Worcester.
Worcester?
Yeah, it's moving to Worcester.
You know what you can get in Worcester?
What?
A toaster. You can get a toaster in Worcester.
That's right. You can also get a toaster in Gloucester. So. Peter says, Mark, you're confusing me today. Hey, Peter, get in line.
Right.
You always talk about the Jimmies and the Joes, but you seem to be making it more about the X's and the O's.
No, I'm not. How are you?
Well, we've been talking that the offense is not coached properly.
Well, you've got to have smart enough players and you've got to put those players in positions as a coach. You have to have great players. You see, there's a distinction for Peter in Worcester. No, he's in Minnesota.
He's in Minnesota.
Oh, shoot.
But there's a distinction.
Hey, if you want to move to Worcester, go
ahead. Okay, let's put Peter in Worcester. Peter, you're in Worcester. There's a distinction, Mike, about the difference between players and athletes. And I think that's what people are missing. And what do I always say? Football's easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes. And listen, I think that Jerry Jeudy's a fine football player. But he needs to learn the NFL. Like, he needs to learn how to play in the NFL and how not to drop a ball every game. And, you know, and when you're asked to cut off T.J. Watt on the backside, you can't tiptoe in there and let T.J. Watt make a tackle for 1 yard. You got to put your nose in there and block people. You want to watch, hey, you want to watch a three wide offense operate? Go watch Rams film. Go watch, which I saw yesterday studying for this Niners game. Go watch Cooper Kupp be the backside puller on a power where they don't pull the guard. They use a receiver to be the guard puller. They exchange a receiver for the guard, and that guy is rooting people out in the box. Go watch it. And then you tell me any one of our receivers that would do that. At this particular, yeah, you think KJ Hamler's going to go in there and root out a safety or root out a linebacker? Robert Woods does the same thing. Go, you want to see three wides football executed? Go watch it. Do yourself a favor.
Coming up is Bradley Chubb's form of leadership, what the Broncos need more of. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.